Tonight, I'm going to share with you two truths and two applications. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 4. And in John 4, we're going to read a few verses, and then we'll begin, because tonight we will be going on a trip. So, John 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, for he needed to go through Samaria." So we're going to take a trip. We're going to go back to the Holy Lands. We're going to be transformed back to the Holy Land days. And we are going to take a trip that Jesus took, or take a trip that anybody took. We're going to see how long it takes to go from Judea. And we're going to go all the way to Galilee. If you have your sheet with you, it's printed on your sheet. If not, it's on the map. But what you have is you have these regions in the New Testament, and you had Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. And so when different people lived in those times, and so if we're going to take a trip and we want to go from Judea to Galilee, I got a stopwatch right here. Before we start talking about the lesson, I'm going to time now how long it takes me to go from Judea, see that on the map, everybody see it, to Galilee. So you ready for that? But I forgot one thing. Most of the Jews, and especially the Pharisees, they had to go on the trip to Galilee. But follow me on their trip. I'm timing it now. See, I'm going on a trip to Galilee. Where's Galilee? Way over there? So I'm most of the Jews during that time and the Pharisees, I'm going on this trip to Galilee. So I go to Jericho. See on the map on Jericho. And then I go to the Jordan Valley where the Jordan River is. You see that by Perea. And I walk down the Jordan Valley. I get to Decapolis. And when I'm at Decapolis, I go up the side of Decapolis. And when I'm walking up the side of Decapolis, I walk up into Galilee, probably going to Nazareth. And I'm already tired. And I'm going up here. And it took me 45 seconds. 45 seconds. If I was someone going from Judea to Galilee, and I was Jewish, most of the Jewish people, or Pharisees especially, I would have to go that route, which was a harder route. See, if you're going from Jerusalem to Nazareth, it's 70 miles if I'm going this way. But there's some reason that I don't go this way. And that is because if I lived in Judea and I was Jewish or a Pharisee, I would not go through Samaria. We did not like Samaria. Samaria, we don't like Samaritans. See, back in 720 BC, when the northern kingdom was captured, then the king of Assyria took all the people out of Samaria region, and they left some of the people, and then the king of Assyria sent a lot of his people down to just inhabit that Samaria place. And so what happened was, is they came down there, and what they brought with them was their own religion. And so they started to intermarry with the Jewish people of that time. And so when they came down, they brought a lot of idols. And so in Samaria during that time of 720 BC, they brought a lot of idols. Now, you'll see in 2 Kings, if you're reading 2 Kings, that the Lord did not like that because there was one true God, and that's God. And so the Lord sent lions to attack this area. And so the king of Assyria said, we need to send some people down. We need to send a priest down there, and the priest needs to teach them how to relate to their one true God. And so they sent a priest down there. But still what happened was there was a lot of people getting married to each other from Gentiles and Jewish people, and they were there. And so what happened over time is the one true God, it all got diminished. They would worship God, but they would also have their idols. And there was a lot of bitterness. Well, about 600 BC, the southern kingdom got destroyed, and they were sent to, the same thing happened kind of in Judah. And so what happened is they took all the people out of there. And you say, well, the same thing is going to happen in Judah that happened in Samaria. But it didn't happen in Judah because 70 years later, they sent them to Judah to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So the one true God, or the worshiping of the one true God, and God, it was still kind of where it needed to be in Judah. But in Samaria, it had already been confused. They were worshiping idols. They were, you know, they would believe maybe the first five books of the Bible. They would, but they would have their idols too. They would have temples that would be temples to God, but also temples to their idols. And so when they were trying to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, the Samaritans, you know, they weren't Jewish people now. They were all married to one another and they had children. They were all married. And so they would come over and they kind of didn't like the fact that they were rebuilding the temple. And so there's this clash became. This clash started happening between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. And so even jump 600 years later in Jesus' time, they still didn't like each other. We never see that happen to any in this world today, do we? But they still didn't like each other. And so what it was is a Jewish person or a Pharisee, they would not walk through Samaria to get to Galilee. It was 70 miles from Jerusalem to Nazareth. But yet they would take a rougher road and they would walk around to Jericho, up the Jordan Valley by the Jordan River, and then through Decapolis, and then up that way, probably about twice as much, if not twice as much, at least 110 miles versus 70 miles, a lot rougher road. And so these people would, because of how their hatred and their bitterness toward the Samaritans, what would happen is they would take a trip that really should have only taken, ready just a second, they would take a trip that really should have only taken 6 seconds and turn it into a trip that lasted 45 seconds. You say, well, that's really silly. Well, it sounds silly, but the first truth of tonight is this. How much further are we walking spiritually? How much further are we walking by avoiding the issues in our lives and the sin that we have in our life? How much farther are we walking because we are avoiding our own sin or the issues that come into our life? Let me explain this. Basically, another way to say that would be, how much time are we wasting for God because of stuff in our life? You go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, this is what I mean. Let me give you another illustration. Jeremiah 29:11, which I read last week, so we need to kind of understand that, says, "For I know the plans I had for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and do not harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future." So the first thing for me to explain what I'm talking about when I say, how much farther are we walking? You go, we're not physically walking. No, I'm talking about how much farther are we spiritually walking? How much farther are we walking because we've got sin in our life and we're missing God's plan in our life? Let me explain that. I believe God has a plan for your life. Agree? Amen? I believe God has a plan. When you are saved, God specifically has a plan for your life. He said, Tom Gamble, this is my plan for you. I have a plan for you. My plan is for you to prosper. My plan is for you to be successful. I have a plan, Tom Gamble. I have a hope for you. I have a future for you. So he's set me on a path. And that path is a straight path. Amen? That path is a narrow path. A straight and narrow path. That's in the Bible. And so I'm going on a straight and narrow path. However, because I'm going on this straight and narrow path, I'm going to have to let God direct my steps. It says in Psalms 37:23, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. So here I am. I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey, and I'm taking a path. Just like these people would have been on a journey from Judea to Galilee. The only thing that's going to take me off that path is stuff. The stuff that I let in my life, and it takes me off the path. What stuff am I talking about? Well, God's got me on a path. This is my path. This is God's path for me. It's from here to here. That's my path. That's what God wants. Y'all understand that part? So, I'm going on a straight path for God. It's going to end in glory in heaven. That's God's plan for my life. So when I'm walking down this path, if I let stuff in my life, I'm going to go off that path. And the more stuff I let in my life, the farther I am off that path. Now, for the Samaritans and the Jewish people back in those days, it was just plain prejudice. It was plain prejudice and bitterness. That's what it was for them. That's why they would have walked all the way, 45 seconds, that's when they would have walked all the way around. For them, back in the day, with the scripture that we're reading, the reason they didn't want to, they just had hatred and bitterness, a history. They just didn't like each other, and they just didn't want to go through Samaria because it's Samaritans. But whatever it is, that's what their issue was. Well, my question is, what's keeping me off the path that God has for me? What is it in my life, what is it in your life that is keeping you off the path? Look at my path. My path is from Judea to Galilee, and if I'm not careful, and I let sin come into my life in any form. I mean, in the Jews' life, it was the prejudice. They were prejudiced against the Samaritans. They didn't like them, and they had hatred in their heart. That was them. But what about us? Let's say I have unforgiveness in my heart. That's taking me off the path. Let's say that I have a sin in my life that I know I have, and I'm not giving that up. That's taking me off the path. Look at the path that God, look how easy that path was that God had for me. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to be roses. I'm just saying this, God's got a plan for you. Let's say that I'm angry with somebody. Look at the path I'm walking on now. This is where, how am I going to get, look at this. I'm not even in shape enough to jump up on this stage. You see what I'm saying? When you have stuff in your life, you've got to find a way to get back on the path, or before you know it, you're off the path. That doesn't mean that you're not a Christian anymore. That just means this. You're not living the abundant life that Christ meant for you to live. And see, that was the same problem with the Jews, is the Jewish people, when Jesus was going to Samaria, and Jesus was walking that way, he said, I'm going to go to Galilee, and I'm just going to go to Galilee. So Jesus goes to Galilee. You notice in the scripture, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but you notice in the scripture that it says that he needed to go to Samaria. So what do we do? What is it in our lives that are keeping us off this path? What is it in our lives that's making us go 45 seconds out of the way in our lives? I really believe that some people, if they don't come back to God, can get so far, and I can't walk all the way to the back, I'm tired. But I believe some people, if they don't get their life right with God, it even can get to the point that they don't even feel like they have God at all. See, the Bible says that you're supposed to pray or not pray, but this is a good thing. The Bible says that you say to God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." When was the last time that we asked God to search our hearts? What is it in your life that is keeping you from going through a spiritual Samaria? What is it that's keeping you from going through Samaria? Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Maybe it's another person. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's a sin. I believe we know that if we have sin or not in our lives many times. You want to know how I know? Because when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's main purposes is to convict us of our sin. See, that's why they didn't have grace back then in the New Testament and stuff like that, other than when Jesus came. But see, we have grace, and so when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And so when we sin, I really believe we know whether we're sinning or not. I really believe that everyone in this room, we know that if we have not forgiven somebody for what they've done for us, we know that that's really not the right thing. We know that if we get angry with somebody or we have some feelings towards somebody or some bitterness, we know that that's not the right thing. But yet, whether we know it or not is not the thing. We might know it and still not be able to take the straight path to Galilee because we haven't taken care of it. Because all of us have a battle between the spirit and the flesh. We have what we call pride. Any of y'all have pride? It's where we just can't admit that maybe we're just not doing what we should do. That maybe there is a problem that I have in my heart towards somebody else. Or maybe there is a problem that I have with this area of my life. Or maybe it's that I'm not being obedient in this area of my life. It's not always a sin. It could be something else that's consuming you. And so I believe that we know that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want us all to be very careful for, and the reason I'm preaching this sermon tonight, is this reason. Because I believe that, and I said it just a second ago, but I believe that we could get off this path in such a way that our heart get so hardened to the Lord that we don't even feel the conviction of sin anymore. And I hope that never happens to anybody in this room. I hope you never get to the place in your life that when you have sin in your life, that you don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the scripture is clear to say that sometimes we can get to that place in our life and our hearts harden. I don't know if it would be within your marriage. I don't know if it would be within your workplace. And things used to bother you. And things used to, you know, when you got upset with each other, that used to bother you. And now when you get upset with each other, it doesn't bother you anymore. Even though we know it's not how God wants us to be. Or when we get angry with somebody, that used to bother us when we got angry with somebody. You know, I don't know about you, but when I get angry with somebody, it bothers me. Does it bother you? I mean, because I think to myself, well, that's not really how God wants me to live. But yet I still get angry with people. But you know what I'm so grateful for? That even though I'm still going to get angry with people, it still bothers me. How sad it would be that I get angry with people and it just never bothers me anymore. You know, it bothers me when I look at somebody and they're not like me, And I get that feeling like, well, you're not like me. So you're like this and this and this. That still bothers me. It bothers me if Nikki and I have a fight, and we, you know, husbands and wives do fight, so don't act, oh, they have a fight. When Nikki and I have a fight, it still bothers me, even after 37 years knowing each other for 40 years, it still bothers me that we had a fight because I might have done something I shouldn't have done, and it still bothers me. See, it didn't seem to bother the Jews very much that they had that feelings toward, you know, their hearts were already hard. That's because they were following the law, by the way, but that's a whole nother sermon. But still, their hearts were already hard, so it didn't bother them at all that they thought this. That would bother me if I treated the Samaritans like that. See, that would bother me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. However, be very, very careful. Because some of us are carrying that stuff around in our hearts, and it doesn't bother us anymore. Because we have a right to feel that way. I'm saying this, that's a very dangerous step, because it's a step off the path, off the plan that God has for you. When we do things, and it just doesn't bother us anymore. Of course, it's not my job to tell you this and you start feeling guilty about it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so what you really need to pray during this time is, God, Holy Spirit, in my heart, show me when I'm doing wrong. Search my heart. Tell me if there's something in my heart that shouldn't be there. The greatest prayer we could pray tonight before we go to bed would be, God, search my heart and see what's in there. God, is there anything in my life that is taking me off this path to Galilee, or really the path to glory? I just think it would be better to be on the path than off the path. Don't you agree? Off the path, you get poison ivy. There's snakes, a bunch of weeds, and before you know it, you're just consumed. So the first truth tonight, how far are we walking off the path? I just challenge us tonight with all our hearts to take the path of God. Second truth and application for the night. Why did Jesus go to Samaria? Why did he go to Samaria? It says that he went to Sychar. But the scriptures clearly say he needed to. God led him to Sychar. Jewish people aren't supposed to go to Samaria. They're supposed to go to Jericho, up the Jordan Valley, to Decapolis, up that corner of Decapolis, to Galilee. But Jesus needed to go to Samaria. He needed to go there. God told him to go there. He had a purpose for going there. He had a mission to go there. My question to us tonight for the second truth is this, in a spiritual way. Why do you need to go to your spiritual Sychar? Why do you need to go where Jesus went? Why is it that we need to go where Jesus went? I'm going to give you some reasons, and I think they're very good reasons. You know, he needed to go because he had a purpose for going. He had a mission for going. I believe we need to follow Jesus to Sychar because we have a purpose for going and we have a mission for going. And that mission is this. Because we know if we get to Sychar, Jesus will be there. We know that if we leave and we go to Sychar, who's going to be at Sychar? Jesus. Because the Bible says on in verse, you know, chapter 4 again, he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Jesus was there. Why do we need to go to Sychar? Because Jesus is there, and we need Jesus. And when we get to Sychar and we see Jesus, spiritually speaking, he's not going to be tired anymore. He was in the flesh. Jesus is there with open arms saying, here, drop everything you have in your life that doesn't connect with me. Here I am. I'm here for you. Just like he was there for that woman at the well, he is there for you. So you don't need to go this long way to Galilee. You need to go straight this way because Jesus is there. And in a way to say our spiritual Sychar is this. We're going through Samaria because we need to see Jesus. We're going through Sychar because there's some things in my life that I just need to give to Jesus that I know are there. And I just never have. You know, we already know from the story, he already knew everything about that lady's life. Let me give you a hint. He already knows everything about us. That breaks my heart some that he knows. But at the same time, I'm glad he knows. Because I need Jesus. That's Jesus' business. So, I go to my spiritual Sychar because Jesus is there. I also go to my spiritual Sychar because Jesus is waiting for me. I go to my spiritual Sychar because Jesus is there with forgiveness and truth. See, when I go to other people a lot of times, I don't always get forgiveness and truth. I get a look, or maybe a sigh, or maybe, oh, okay. I need to go where Jesus is because Jesus gives forgiveness and truth. John 4, 9 and 10, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Do you know, and I think you know, that when we go to Jesus Christ, he satisfies our thirst for life by giving us living water. Well, what's living water? Jesus is the living water. So it's not that Jesus is there for me in Sychar, and it is, that's true, and that he's waiting for me there, but I'm going there because Jesus will give me forgiveness and truth. See, Jesus even says later in that passage that I'm going to teach you how to worship in spirit and in truth. That means this, Jesus is there for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you're hiding, what you know's in your heart, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is there waiting for you by the well, saying to you, I'm here. I'm offering my forgiveness. I'm offering you the truth. I'm offering you the living water. Are you going to receive it? And the moment we receive that forgiveness and truth from God, no matter how far we're off the path, which I hope none of us are very far off the path, because I really think we all get off the path, don't you? No matter how far we're off the path, Jesus offers his forgiveness, and the truth is this: when he forgives us, he forgets that, he forgives us completely, and we're back on the path. I just don't want us to get off the path here. Understand what I'm saying? I don't want any of us to get off the path here and spend all this time and wait till here to get back on the path. Because look what you've missed. You've missed 5 seconds of glory. 5 seconds of glory, but you've got 46 seconds of who knows what. Whatever the world wanted to give you. So Jesus offers forgiveness and truth. I go to my spiritual sidecar because it will bring joy to my life. And it will bring such a joy to my life that I can't help but to share it. See, this woman in verse 28, it says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' Well, yes. Then came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have bought him food?' 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who had sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest.'" The Samaritans. See, Jesus offers forgiveness and truth in such a way that when we get back on the path, we can't help to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. How do you know if you're right on the path? Because you're telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Such a joy. This woman, the Samaritan woman, goes and tells people, it's the Messiah. And then Jesus comes up and says, look at all these people, ripe for the harvest. Outside of this auditorium tonight, we have people that are ripe for the harvest. And we must tell them about Jesus Christ. For he is waiting at the well at Sychar to meet their every need, to forgive their every sin, and to put them on a straight path to glory. Amen? And so tonight, what I challenge us is this very thing. Where are you on the path? Are you here, or here, or here? Let's follow Jesus to Sychar. Let's go to Sychar. Let's go sit at the well. Say, Jesus, thank you for waiting for me. Thank you for not giving up on me. God, forgive me. I've been angry with this person for too long. I'm not getting along with this person. God, I have this sin in my life. God, I worry too much. God, I have too much anxiety. God, help me with all these things. And then when God says, you know what, Tom, I forgive you, and let's get back on that path. And you know, there's many people out there in this world that are off this path. And Tom, I just need you to help me get them back on the path. Because many of them don't even know there is a path. And Tom, I need you to do that. But he's just not telling me. He's telling all of us. So let's bow our heads. And as we get to the time of invitation, there's a couple of ways that we can respond to this message. Number one is this, Is there anything that is keeping you off the path to Galilee, the straight path to Galilee? Is there something in your heart that you've been dealing with? It doesn't necessarily have to be a sin. It could just be a struggle of something. But is there anything that's keeping you off that path? I encourage you tonight to go to Sychar, your spiritual Sychar, at the well with Jesus. Just sit with Him for a while. Do you real good. Just talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you know, I've had this problem with this person for a while, and God, I've done this, and Jesus, you know, I don't want to do that, but I keep doing it, Jesus. And, you know, you and Jesus just talk. He'll put His arms around you. He'll say, I forgive you, my child. But first, we have to go to the well. So tonight, during the invitation, the altar's open, or your pew right there, you can pray, and just maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you need to pray about something in your life. We'll be happy to pray with you up here at the front. Maybe you're here tonight, and just like this woman at the well, didn't even know Jesus, and found out that He could save her from her sins. Maybe you're here tonight and you need Jesus and ask Jesus in your heart for the first time. You can do that right now. Just say this prayer in your heart. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins, for I am a sinner. And cleanse me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. And so tonight when we do the invitation, I just ask that this Holy Spirit that I was talking about that is here, remove all your pride. Let that go for tonight. And let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. So, Father, as we get ready for this invitation, I pray that, Father, You will move in a mighty way in the hearts of Your people. Father, if there's prayers that need to be said, they'll be said. Father, if there's people that need to be saved, that they'll come forward. Father, that if there's people here that need to join our church, that they'll come tonight and join our church. Father, this is Your invitation. We want to give You glory for this, but we want to let You be able to move in the way You need to. Father, thank You that we can come to Jesus and we can get back on the path. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.